Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
All right, welcome back. Brendan Nunes at 9 to talk Kings. But we are focused as well on the Athletics coming to Sacramento for 3 years with an option for four, and who knows after that. Now, throughout this whole thing, one of the guys I've watched from afar, I've been a fan of his and his work for a while, partly because he knows what he's talking about. He's been through this.
Helps.
How about this life? All right, so amongst, I'm just amongst other things. President of the Marlins, wrote a play, was on Survivor. Well, I believe was Lorne Michaels in another play.
That's intriguing. Right
that
there.
Right, like, and now you see him on Dan Le Batard. I believe he's down in L.A. right now, hosting Rich Eisen's show today. I probably got most of that right. David Sampson joins us. David, it's Dave. It's Jason. Good morning, and thank you. I know you're busy for joining us this morning. Oop, do we not have audio on? Let's see.
At my main show is nothing personal at 8 a.m. Eastern, so you got everything right. And I'm so happy when you reached out, because what you guys are going through, you're getting a major league team, but you want to know, do I feel good about it? Do I feel guilty about it? How should I feel? And I'd love to get you on the therapist couch and tell you that it's okay to feel good about having Major League Baseball in Sacramento.
Well, I think, and I know you know this, but just to frame the conversation, there's two things. I'll just speak for me. I'm struggling hard with the Oakland situation, and if we're deleveraging Oakland in any way and helping break those fans' hearts and assisting John Fisher, which is worse. But secondly, and as you know this, David, we went through a relocation issue with the Sacramento Kings about 10, 12 years ago, and I feel a little bit hypocritical. I'm just being honest. I'm on your couch, so help me out there.
Everything you feel is exactly normal, and the problem is that as a fan, we bring you with us on the roller coaster, and I really hated doing that when I was getting a ballpark done in Miami, when I was threatening relocation, when I was using Vegas as a possible leverage point to move the team. But the reason I had to bring the fans on the roller coaster is it was the only way to get the politicians to understand the game that I was playing, which is I want money to get this ballpark done because everyone else got money who I'm competing with. So fans, unfortunately, are brought on this ride, and you represent the fans. So let's talk about your guilt first very quickly. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. However, the benefit that you're doing is you have put yourself in a position to be in a city that was willing to take a team that, in theory, there's about 15 or 18 major league teams that draw from areas, Sacramento, Oakland, pretty normal. You go to a Cardinals game, a Cubs game, a White Sox game. Other than Florida, where you'd have to come from the water, there's people who drive to games all the time. So keeping them close by is good. Secondly, leverage. You're not hurting the chances of the team staying in Oakland long term. You're not guaranteeing the team stays in Sacramento long term. But most importantly, you're not opening the door for them to move to Vegas. This Sacramento deal has nothing to do with the Vegas deal. You are simply taking advantage of the opportunity that you have now.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
Did that help a little bit or no? A little bit. I know the thing is we're processing all of this. There's a lot of emotions, David, from people that are genuinely excited to people that are completely frustrated. And I think that on the side of those that are frustrated are probably looking at it the way of the departure of the A's, the way the last couple of years have been of the A's, the way they are currently being operated, thinking that it's also going to be operated the same way here. I think a lot of people are frustrated with A's ownership. So how do we compartmentalize maybe being excited of seeing baseball here in the capital city, but also this version of the A's?
Here's what made me crazy yesterday, and I talked about it a little bit on Nothing Personal, but I'll go into more detail with you guys. When you do a press conference announcing this, you're talking about being in Sacramento for 3 years, maybe 4 years. What about the team? Why was there no mention of, listen, we're in the middle of a rebuild, but we expect to have a window over these 3 years where we hope to have a competitive team in the American League West? Or say, listen, we're at the beginning of our rebuild, but we are hoping that we have young players who you will love to watch because you're a community that's used to watching great young players in minor league baseball. Talk to me about the team other than saying that this is a audition for permanent team, which is what Vivek said, the owner of the Kings, in his press conference, or John Fisher just saying, hey, we're just so happy to be here. Sorry, Oakland. I wanted a little more meat on the bone, and they just didn't do it.
Now, I don't know how – I mean, I know obviously you're very familiar with John Fisher as an owner. I wonder if part of that – and that's another part of my reticence here, David, is, you know, what he and Dave Cavill have – how they have kind of treated these fans over the last few years. And the fact that this is – and I'm not joking here. I mean, this is arguably a major league team. It's more like a quad A team. They're losing money in the Comcast deal. Fisher, whether it's baseball or his MLS San Jose Earthquakes, doesn't seem to show that he's willing to spend any money. So why as a fan am I thinking, you know, I said yesterday, I think this will be a 100-win team over 3 years. Why should I feel any differently about that?
I've never heard that one before. That's outstanding. 100-win team over 3 years. That's not very good.
No,
no. Historically bad. That I'm going to use that. I may use that one.
You absolutely like can.
So let me ask you this. When you're taking, I don't know if you have children or if you take your employees out. When you're taking your child to a game, you're making a memory. You're having an opportunity to see Major League Baseball. I don't think that it matters who the owner is and who the president is. And it's not a popularity contest. They've got whether they're doing it well or not, we could argue, but don't sacrifice the chance to make a memory with your family, because at the end of the day, no one will care who the owner was of the game you went to. They'll care about the experience that you had.
Talk with David Sampson. One of the things I'm trying to understand, David, is kind of MLB's part of this. So no relocation fee, I think, draws a lot of people's attention.
Terrible.
Why would that happen? And so, again, clear this up if I'm wrong on this. Like, it feels like Major League Baseball wants them out of Oakland. I think they obviously want out of Oakland. So maybe as a general question, if this was your team, like, would any other owner take a deal to be in Oakland? Is this an Oakland problem or is this a different problem?
It's a different problem. When I went to Miami for Montreal, no one wanted to be in Miami. As a matter of fact, the executive who just passed away, Larry Lucchino, had told baseball that Miami will never get a new ballpark. And so they said, all right, we'll send Laurie and Sampson there and see if they can do it. It took us 9 years to do it. No, it's not an Oakland problem. And let's be clear, baseball would prefer the team to stay in Oakland. It really is actually an expansion problem. The owners are pressuring the commissioner to get to expansion as quickly as possible because of the influx of money that it will be for expansion fees, which will be split 30 ways. And they know you can't do expansion until Tampa and Oakland have their stadium situations dealt with, no matter where they are. And what the owners felt was that giving up the relocation fee to Vegas would be the fastest way to get the deal done in Vegas faster, to get a building built faster in order to get to expansion faster. But it totally got screwed up because not only is there no expansion relocation fee, but then they eliminate Vegas as an expansion city if the team moves there. But now they get to add maybe Oakland and maybe Sacramento. So the interesting thing to me is, are Oakland and Sacramento going to compete for an expansion team if, in fact, the team that's currently the A's goes to Vegas, because what the owner of the Kings was saying very clearly is, listen, this is an audition for us, and we want to prove to baseball that we can be a major league city. So that, when you're thinking about what makes you feel guilty, imagine competing with Oakland, where only one of you two could get a major league team.
And that sets up a fascinating showdown, possibly, between Vivek Ranadive and his former majority owner with the Warriors, Joe Lacob, who's on record saying he...
It's beautiful.
It really is Shakespearean. Now, the quote, David, here is from Vivek yesterday. Quote, the longer-term play is that I've been having conversations with MLB and Rob Manfred. They will introduce two new franchises, one in the West, one in the East. And I think we're really in pole position to get the one in the West. So this for us is a showcase. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't think we know the answer, but your instinct, that seems to me like a quote Rob Manfred probably didn't want make public.
I would say that may be the greatest understatement that you'll have in your show today.
Okay.
The fact that he's the spokesperson confirming what, of course, is true.
Sure.
We've been talking about expansion. I've been out of the game since 2017 when Derek Jeter jettisoned me. I was on a committee that was talking about expansion. This is 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it, of course, will be a city in the East and the West. But for the owner of the Kings to be the mouthpiece through which it's said is so absurd that really what he did maybe is guarantee that Sacramento won't get an expansion team. Yeah. Because one thing that owners do is they keep track of what potential owners are saying publicly. And the biggest word of advice that a potential owner is given by current owners is shut your yapper.
Yep.
Don't talk about anything publicly because you won't get the 23 votes that you need to accomplish what you want.
It's like asking for an Augusta National membership.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't do it.
Exactly. Right.
Right. David, on that expansion thought, was Sacramento even mentioned? Because I don't know that we'd heard it here. Was that even a possibility on anybody's radar back when you were with the Marlins?
No, and that's what's so great about it, because the more cities that are possible, the higher the fee is going to be. You want cities bidding against each other, and that's why in my head it would be fascinating for Oakland and Sacramento to actually be going against each other, which I don't think would be to the benefit of the people in Northern California, because basically when you're doing that, you're saying, okay, I'll give MLB, I'll give you $1 billion. I'll give you $1.1 billion. I'll build a stadium for $1.3 billion. And so you just keep bidding it up while the owners sit there and say, okay, good, keep going, keep going. And the reason we know this is go back to Washington when the Expos moved. Mm. Washington built Nationals Park. They paid for the entire thing, which enabled the owners of the Nationals to pay baseball for that franchise a very, very high number that is more than what the team was worth.
David, I know you're very, very busy. We got about 30 seconds because I want to get you out of here. He's got a bunch of other stuff going on today, obviously. Just real quick, Las Vegas, there is a ballot initiative trying to get this ballot initiative for the $325 million subsidy on the ballot. Does it serve Sacramento's interests if they want to block John Fisher from going somewhere and possibly induce a sale? Is there anything to getting behind the fundraising for that initiative? It's kind of dirty pool, but you and I both know if that gets on the ballot, it ain't passing.
Correct. Things, ballots don't pass. You saw it in Kansas Yep. City, and in 20 seconds or fewer, don't do that. If you're Sacramento, let it play out, because the deal in Vegas has so many other problems. The ballot initiative is like number 7 on the list. So I think you just sit it out and let the deal implode on its own. You don't want to be the cause of that.
Okay. You got to go. I'd love to talk to you again. We're big fan. Great convo. And you know what the hell you're talking about. Thank you so much for your time.
I'm looking forward to the next time. Have a great day.
You too, David. That is David Sampson, former president of Miami Marlins. And he's not just, you know, an analyst. He'd been through it. He went through the Expos. He went through, and I got to be honest with you, I'm glad we're breaking right now.
There's a lot in there.
There was a lot in there, and that could have very easily been about a 20-minute longer conversation. Because my head's kind of spinning.
I have more questions.
We'll take a break. Wow. When we come back, 3 for Madness, and then we'll get back to that. We'll put that out also on social media as well. And thanks to him for joining us. We'll take a break. 3 for Madness, brought to you by Fireweights Net.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Yeah, we're sitting during this break. I'll make a commitment. I just texted Dave, thank you.
Yeah. You we have to have him on more.
We need to have him on. We need to have him on. I'm going to ask him, hey, dude, when's the next time you have like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And let's just really get into this whole thing. Because, again,
it's not, no offense
to anyone else talking about this, but dude was there. Dude has been involved in this, whether it's with the Expos and the Marlins. He's gotten new stadiums. He's been a part of moving teams. He understands what the owners want and don't want. So to be able to get the kind of insider perspective.
He's been in different rooms.
And there's been some, you know, and he put some twists on some of these questions that really, I'll be quite honest, kind of, you know, I'm like the big, dumb, aggressive guy. It's like, okay, they're here. I still want him to go back to Oakland, but now I really just want to screw John Fisher. So let's block the Vegas thing.
Don't do that.
And the way he said it's chestnut checkers. It's like, no, dude. And I've watched his other work. Yeah. He is confident this Vegas deal isn't going to happen.
I mean, because I thought that was kind of a priority one. He's like, no, that's like seventh on the list of ways this is going to fall apart.
I'm pretty sure if we had more time, one of the things he would have expanded on, and I, no pun intended, and I understood this from him from his tone, was like, don't do that. Let the other things make it fall apart. You don't want to piss off the other owners in baseball. Right. You don't want to hurt your chances if that happens. But again, the Maloofs got blocked everywhere, and eventually they had to sell the team. I think that's the strategy for John Fisher, and that's why I say the Oakland people. Like,
it may happen on its own.
Maybe
let him fail to get money for the stadium.
Maybe let him fail, be blocked, and then all of a sudden say, fine, screw it, I'm selling. Why'd I say it like Ethel Merman? And then now.
Salad Saturday.
And then now, can you imagine Joe Lacob versus Vivek Ranadive in a bidding war? Which I don't think we're winning that one. I can tell you this much. I have also seen some things where it's like, well, what if they teamed up together? I don't think that's going to happen. I'm rather confident that that will not happen. So stay tuned. As a drama.
And egos and money, what could happen?
All right. Three for Madness. Question un.
The reason the Kings lost and the reason we should get used to this was a depth issue, true or false?
Yeah, I think it's true. I think there's stuff behind it. I think we can talk about Mike Brown's lack of adjustments, but also Mike Brown's inability to make some adjustments because of the lack of depth. I think we can talk about how the Kings wilted down the stretch after the Knicks kept hitting them in the body like a boxer. And I think some of that has to do with the lack of depth. It's funny. I was watching with my son just before the game started. YouTube clip happened to rise up. And the late, great native son, Diego Corrales, was fighting Jose Luis Castillo, one of the most famous rounds in the history of boxing. Corrales goes down right as the beginning of the round starts, somehow gets up, goes down again. I don't know how the ref didn't stop it at that point. Corrales' trainer, Joe Goosen, I think it was Joe or Dan, says, you better get it together, dude. Next thing you know, Castillo, who's never been down in his life, still didn't go down, but Diego Corrales, just starts in on him, wins the fight. It's the most insane comeback I've ever seen. And then that probably was the prelude, Jason. I'm watching the game, and I go, you know, if you look at this like a boxing match, the Kings knocked down the Knicks a couple times. Mm-hmm. They had to get a standing eight count. But the Knicks, as he entered the championship rounds, had invested in body blows and body blows and body blows, and now they were starting to get to the head of the Kings. And it's like one of those fights where one guy might be ahead on the cards in the seventh or eighth round, but you're sitting back and you go, this is inevitable, dude. Unless this guy has a shot out of nowhere, he's losing. And that's how I felt right around the third quarter with the Kings.
Yeah, I won't put it on depth, but I mean, I don't think that over time this won't be a thing. I mean, there were portions of the game yesterday where I went, boy, it would be nice to have Malik Monk. Sure, wouldn't it be nice to have Kevin Huerter, but they don't have him. I didn't think about that when they were playing the Clippers. That wasn't a factor then. I think if we look at a couple things, I think shot selection we talked about earlier was hideous in the second half. The defensive adjustments that weren't present, I didn't think. I mean, they kept with the first half philosophy, which put them ahead. Second half, though, they had to change because the rest of the guys for the Knicks got hot other than Brunson. And the other part is, it's not as simple as this, but I don't know, Harrison Barnes, can you score 12 points a game? I know
Harrison Barnes, can you score two?
Yeah, if you score 12, you lost by 11. Yeah. I know it doesn't work that way because maybe you're taking 12 from other people. But he did not play a great game at all. He did not have a game. Like, so I don't think that's a depth thing. Maybe by him not playing well, if he had one more player that played well, maybe it covers that. But there were several things. But again, I didn't see the depth as a Utah or a Clipper problem when they beat them.
No, you're right.
But
that's
disappointing. Third 20-point loss this year. 20-point lead loss. They're now even. They've had three 20-point comebacks. So to say, you know, it happens, but you want to be on the positive of that, like have more. But it's now three on the positive.
At least we got the 21-point lead, right?
Yeah, you're singing. You're sing-songy.
It's Friday. Number two, please.
Question two.
Great Mike Brown last night.
D. I won't give him an F. We have this section of Kings fans, and of course, we're all a family. But basically, unless somebody says Mike Brown is the biggest failure, worst coach in history, and is stealing money, like you're not being tough enough on him, I don't think either extreme is correct. I don't think Mike Brown's had a particularly great year this year. I don't think he's had as good a year as he did last year. I think part of that is that he's trying to instill some things in this team that is a very natural thing to try to do as you try to build a contender.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't think he has the roster to do that, and I think that's kind of played out. The defense has gotten better. Their depth has been an issue, but the biggest problem is that we can talk all day long, Jason. You just brought it up, all the blown leads.
Mm-hmm.
All the losses against the
teams. Which is three.
Which all the losses against teams that you shouldn't lose
to. Which is too many.
We go through our players and their faults.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give credit to the other team. They get paid to play ball too. But what we don't talk about enough is some of that has to be lack of adjustments. Some of that has to be on the coaching staff. Yeah. It could be when you call a timeout, when you don't call a timeout, how late you wait to sub, how quick you are to
challenges.
Sub. Challenges. They almost didn't challenge.
Yeah.
The out of bounds play was the most obvious challenge of the year at the end of the whole thing. It's like you're the fourth quarter challenge. Yeah. So I do think that we're a little unfair in calling out the players all the time, which we should. But it's almost like Mike Brown's a sacred whatever the sacred thing is, sacred cow. Yeah, yeah. Sacred cow.
Now you're calling me cow.
I love Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown is an excellent coach. He is the reigning coach of the year. I do not want Mike Brown fired. I don't think it should be even brought up that Mike Brown should be fired. Mike Brown has made the playoffs every year he's been a Sacramento Kings head coach, whether it's play-in or playoffs this year, and nobody else has done that other than Adelman. So let's all calm down on that. But I think it's okay to say that Mike struggles too sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess my pushback on the one comment you made, though, was to say he's had a worse year this year. I mean, there's no denying the West is better.
Yes.
There's no denying they were awful defensively.
And yes.
They're better. They're better defensively in a better year. But all that being said, I didn't think he had a great game last night either. I mean, I think there were mistakes, some adjustments, rotations. Again, he didn't play Barnes a lot, but he brought him in like he started the second half, then randomly brought him in for 2 minutes. Like, let me see what he's got. Oh, he has nothing. So he took him back. I was like, I don't know. Some of the buttons I didn't think were the right ones to push.
But I'll stand right in front. You know, I'll kind of counter what I just said. But here's the thing. He brings Harrison Barnes back in. Harrison Barnes gets hot. Kings turn around. They win.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, talk about bringing Harrison Barnes back. He had a terrible start. Well, he's one of our vets, and you got to give the guy a chance. And now all of a sudden we're sitting here today going, great move by Mike Brown.
I didn't see that one, but he did. Yeah. Exactly. That works.
Number three, please.
Question three.
The Kings are now the 8th seed. Will that be the same going into the postseason?
We went through this a little bit earlier. I am like on the head of a pin here on this. I fluctuate between, we went through their records. My gut tells me the Kings will be the 9th seed and face the Warriors as the 10th seed. And bleh. But the Lakers have to do either 3-2 or 4-1 the rest of the year or whatever it was to catch the Kings.
This is such a roller coaster. The day they lost the second game to Dallas, about an hour after hitting news that Malik was was bad, MCL sprain, you're like, are they going to make the top 10?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where my mind went.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Then they beat Utah. Well, okay, you had to beat Utah. Oh, my gosh, they beat the Clippers. Wait, they're back. Oh, my gosh, they could be fifth. So I feel like this answer is going to change every day.
Sure.
My thought tonight is that they will lose. That's my not a shocking opinion.
Right.
So then by the end of the night, to your point, they will be in a tie for eighth with the Lakers by definition. They have the tiebreaker. So it might get worse before it gets better. I'm hoping it gets better, but the likelihood, I saw a graph, like I think their percentage chance is to be a play-in team. So that's 7 through 10. They're likely going, that's the odds.
Right.
It's just which one. 7 and 8 is much better than 9, 10.
But to your point, they beat Utah. Mm-hmm. The really impressive win over the Clippers.
Yeah.
Let's say you and I had to answer this question right after the first quarter yesterday.
Oh, I was feeling great.
I think they might catch Dallas.
Yeah, like the scenario I had. Dallas was losing. The Kings were ahead. There's going to be a four-way tie for fifth, and right. The Kings are in the tie.
Arguably their best defensive start to any game this year, yeah. That first quarter.
And the Clippers were playing Denver that night. I go, wait, the Clippers, can they get to fourth? And now it's like, oh, are they going to be 10th?
We'll take a break when we come back. Let's clean up some of the A's stuff, including audio from yesterday's presser. John Fisher just can't get out of his own way. We've got that. Dave Cavill with a shocking quote about the Giants. A lot of us have said, well, how are the Giants signing on? Cavill answers that, and it blew my mind. But then what was left of my mind got blown even crazier out of my ear holes when Vivek Ranadive talked about expansion, which we mentioned with David Sampson.
He had quite the answer to that, too.
Woof, woof. We got all the audio for you next.
Only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Welcome back. Brendan joining us at 9. Friday Fun and Games. Coming up late in the 9 o'clock. Also, next up, we will have the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Not now, but you know.
Sorry,
I had a little little hiccup going on there. Okay.
Gross.
Gross. By the way, RIP 99 cent store. They're closing. It was there for me in times of need.
Like what?
You could always go there.
Was everything 99 cents?
Not always. Yeah, like they'd have some like the premium section.
This seems like a cash grab.
But I'll tell you, dude, you always get those big Gatorades for 99 cents. Hmm. Some other stuff as well. All right. Well, the Oakland A's aren't going to cost 99 cents. That's for sure. They're worth quite a bit more. And there was a press conference yesterday out at Sutter Health Park. And a lot of people up talking. Well, by a lot of people, I mean John Fisher and Vivek Ranadive, amongst I think Barry Broom got up there, the GSAC head. Greater Sacramento Economic Council, by the way. That sounds weird, GSAC head. Also, you know what's also disappointing about the Athletics just being the A's? What is it going to say in the score bug? It's just going to say A's, right? Like A's versus Washington. A's, it will say like...
I think normally, doesn't it say like A's Yankees or Royals?
I thought it says the city abbreviations. Like,
oh, it says yeah, O-A-K the Cubs and NYY yeah, or whatever.
Like the Cubs facing the Rangers would be like CHI and TEX.
Okay.
So if the Rangers were hosting the Cubs, it would have Chi on the top and then Tex on the bottom.
So it might say right. Tex and A's.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll say that. And what's disappointing is that one of the first things I thought of when this got announced was how awesome it would be when the Orioles visited.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
Right.
Y'all can
A's and O's.
Figure that out yourself. Yeah, exactly. Here is Dave Cavill. Well, let's start with John Fisher. Here's John.
He wouldn't talk very long.
No, and did not take questions afterwards. We're going to have Casey Pratt on next week. And he said John Fisher skedaddled afterwards. There was no press availability for him. Also, Casey brought this up, and I didn't think about it yesterday, just to give you an idea as to the slime we're now associated with. Notice how, remember yesterday morning around this, well, it was earlier because they announced it, I think. I said, I'm hearing that there will be an announcement as soon as today or tomorrow, but probably tomorrow because it's going to take a while to get people together. Casey said this, and I think he's right. They announced, what time did the announcement come out? 8 a.m., 9 a.m.?
It was fast, and the press conference at 10.
So I think it was a two-hour window, right? Not a lot of time for Bay Area press to get up here.
Correct.
Not a lot of time at all. Casey seems to think that was deliberate. I have a hard time disagreeing with him.
I can't.
Could have made it 11, could have made it noon, could have made it today.
Correct.
John Fisher got up, grabbed the microphone, and was talking about how great it is to be here.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball for the next 3 years.
It's funny because one of the reasons why I enjoyed, like, I wanted to build Golden One Center is I was really looking forward to watching Giannis Antetokounmpo dunk all over us.
Very much what David Sampson just said. Like, I mean, if anything, I mean, he did at least say the athletics, but I didn't even remember that the first time. All I heard
was
Aaron Judge.
Does he know the name of
that's it. There is a photo.
Name an A's player.
From an old press availability he had.
Yeah.
And they get a photo of a notepad he was carrying. And on the notepad is written three A's players, which popular sentiment is that he had to make sure he could. Hey, that would have been my first question, John. You mentioned it'd be great to see A's players, and then, you know, like a guy like Aaron Judge hitting home runs. Could you name three A's players for us right now?
Not from the past.
Not from the past, like current on the roster A's players.
Right. And that's what David said perfectly. It's like, you know, even if it was like, hey, we got a young team that we hope will develop, we'll find a star of the future.
Yeah.
And you'll get to see Aaron Judge or whoever pick your – that's fine. But it was really – a lot of it's been more about who else is coming.
When you guys are playing the game of, like, who had the highest batting average on each team,
yeah,
how would John Fisher do?
He wouldn't – you know what? He'd probably get the Giants one, right?
Do you know who John Fisher reminds me of? He's the kid in the neighborhood that nobody likes and is annoying and, like, just a drag to be around, but he's got Sega Genesis. So you have to go to his house and act like his friend because he's got the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, and he's the only one. What was the movie with Doogie Howser that came out a couple years ago where, like, the one kid had the Nintendo and he was a total D-bag? I thought it was – it is. I'm right about it. Someone's going to know. It was a movie that came out within the last 5 years, and Doogie Howser, Neil Patrick Harris was a – I think he was a kid. Yeah, he's a dad, but he was, like, reflecting on when he was a kid, and everyone – you couldn't get a Nintendo anywhere, and his whole thing was he was trying to get a Nintendo, and the original Nintendo, and – what?
8-bit Christmas?
That's what it is, baby. That's what it is.
Did you look that up, Chris?
Yes.
8-bit Christmas.
What is that?
I've never even heard of
it. It's a movie that came out like 5 years ago.
Lifetime?
Oh, it's on Netflix.
2021.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 3 years ago. And yeah.
You saw it.
I totally saw it because.
Oh,
it,
yeah. You're a big Steve Zahn fan. That's
huge
why.
Steve Zahn fan. I like Steve Zahn. And so, and yeah. So he was a dad, and I think his daughter was, it was something. And then it's like, let's go back in time. And it takes you back to when Nintendo came out. And the kid, my point is, the kid that had the Nintendo, the one in town, and he also had, like, the power glove and the little Duck Hunt gun. But
he had it all.
He was like, okay, here's how it's, like, everyone would gather outside this kid's house, and he'd pick, like, four kids a day who had the best bribes to come in and play with him. And then he was a total tyrant inside. He'd boot people and all. Anyways, yes. Although I also think John Fisher looks like where I thought you were going is John Fisher reminds me of, like, one of the FBI captains and one of the CSIs my wife watches. Like, just the way the look is and all that. Nothing bad. He looks like one of those actors. Anyways, we're losing the script here. Dave Cavill, who looked very intense in answering his questions. Say what you want about the deal and all that. I'm never going to get personal, and I'm not trying to get personal here, as people will think I'm getting personal. But was there a little bit of Adam Gase and Dave Cavill's press availability yesterday? Like, legit, if you watch the clips, like, I'm just saying, he looked intense, right? One of the questions was about the Giants And why would they go for this? Why would they sign off? Are they going to stand in front? He was asked about that.
So I've been in.
Nope, that's Vivek. Don't interrupt, Vivek. Here's Dave Cavill.
You know, the Giants, as our partner in Major League Baseball, have been involved in ensuring that we have a good interim home for the A's. And Larry Bear and his team and Greg Johnson have been great to work with on that. And obviously, we're going to be sharing the facility. They'll have their AAA team here. We'll have the Major League team here.
Did the Giants have to sign off on this?
Giants culpable the whole time. Hey, no problem. Whatever you need. Which, by the way, is kind of what we said, that the motivation for the Giants to assist in this situation is to get the A's out long term. And if this helps them get them out long term, then that helps them get out long term.
Yeah. And I know we had to run with David Sampson. That's what I was going to ask when he was talking about potentially if expansion was really talked about with Sacramento and even maybe a return to Oakland. That about that fight, we kind of got caught up in the Vivek versus Joe Lacob potential there. The Giants, and I don't know if they have overall power of how many, but they if baseball gets out of the Bay Area besides the Giants,
yeah.
And then eventually to Vegas, the Giants are not going to want anything back if they can avoid
it.
Now, they may not have the full power to do that, but they'll do their part, right?
Well, what about expansion, though, Jason? Yeah. Vivek Ranadive was asked about that. I was stunned when I heard this quote.
Yeah, so I've been in touch with the commissioner, and I've gotten to know him, Rob Manfred, and they will be creating a new team. They want it to be on the West Coast. They'd love for it to be in California, and I think this is a great showcase for us. We can prove that there's a market here, we can make the team successful. I think we're in pole position to get the new franchise.
Specifically, it's nice, but is there any assurances at all, or is this just something he said he would be willing to entertain? I mean, is there any type of guarantees for this? Because in negotiating this, you're driving down the price in another market. You're taking a team here, so what is in it for you to do this?
Yeah, no, there's no guarantee. You know, we have to show what we can do, and I have complete confidence that if we set our mind to something, this is an incredible city. We have the best fans in the world. And at the end of the day, the best fans in the world will make it happen.
Now, the audio, there's a lot of background noise.
Yeah.
I'll paraphrase from the Athletic's paraphrasing here of the quote. The longer term play is that I have been having conversations with baseball and Rob Manfred. Or as Vivek said, Rob. They will introduce two new franchises, one in the West, one in the East. By the way, that's breaking news. And I think we're really in pole position to get the one in the West. And so this is, for us, a showcase. That is a stunning admission.
He said the quiet stuff out loud?
Yeah. And look, I got to be fair. Maybe Vivek's not stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe he did have permission to say that. Maybe Rob said, I don't care if you say that. There's always a possibility there, but then you'll have David Sampson on. He said, that's the biggest understatement you're going to make on your show today is that Rob Manfred probably didn't want that to be public.
Yeah, but maybe he's putting the pressure on Sacramento itself, the city, the whole thing to respond and make something. I don't know. There could be a rhyme or reason or a slip-up, one of the two.
We're going to have Casey Pratt on next week, and as we go to break, just a couple other notes here. When you're talking about, did Sacramento deleverage Oakland in any way, shape, or form? Did you see the figure that the A's are going to be paying to rent the stadium? For 3 years. Did you guys see those figures came out late last night? How about this? The Oakland A's are paying nothing. Not a dime. Not a dime. What was that, Chris? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I can't say it.
You can't. Not a dime. To be fair, I'm sure they will participate in improvements and there will be money spent by the A's to improve the clubhouse and this and that, whatever. Oakland didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. You can be fine about this deal. You can, like Jason, everything you've said, I still don't disagree with what you're saying. I get it. I just think it's let's just look at it like it is. Vivek is caping for Sacramento. Nothing wrong with that. Wants the team here long term. Looked at Oakland as a competitor, undercut him, won the bid. Do you disagree with that?
No, not entirely. I mean, the semantics of that, no.
Sure.
But, I mean, again, flip the script to you.
Yeah.
To you.
Yes.
Oakland offers you a lease for, what, $91
million? Yeah. Or $91 million, I think, over 3 years versus zero. Oh, I'm taking the zero. Oh, I'm taking the zero. I don't. I get why John Fisher did it, but I can't act like. Again, let's just be open about what we're doing here. They may have already been leaving Oakland. I get right. They probably were, almost certainly were leaving Oakland,
along with two other teams that have left Oakland.
But you know that old meme of the kid like almost like with his head just above the water,
right.
Like he's running out of steam. Let's just make no mistake about it. Oakland's the kid, and Vivek put his hand on top of the kid and just shoved him down. Let's just be honest about what that was, good or bad. We'll take a break when we come back. The Kings lose to the Knicks. I don't know. I wrote postgame here. Do we have postgame sound from anyone? I don't know. It's in New York. Whatever. If not, we'll do some imitations. And the Kings visit Boston tonight.
The Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube drive of the game, Jason. That's why you're a pro and I am not. 1-800-920-1140. The Jiffy Lube drive of the game. Yes, there was one. Let us know what it was and you can get a $100 gift certificate. We're right back on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Carmichael Dave.
He has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
Apparently there was a minor. I don't know what constitutes minor, but Paul just wrote in the chat, and it sounds like... It's online too, like a 4.8 earthquake in New York, but it sounds centered in Lebanon, New Jersey, and felt in New York City. It sounds like everyone's fine. People are posting the memes of like the plastic chair in the backyard knocked down, saying "We will rebuild." You know, one of those. Somebody said we had an earthquake here in Sac yesterday. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know about that. I didn't.
I saw that all the way. You know, oh, now we have an earthquake in Sacramento.
Have you felt an earthquake?
Never. Or never. What? Not once.
I've had one.
Mm-mm.
And I was when we're here.
I'm still over. I said this every time that comes up, which doesn't come up a lot, but I will never forget. We had a little hanging, I don't know, it's not a chandelier. You know, one of those hanging lights over a dinner table? When I was a kid, I was on this big red pillow watching the game, the Giants and A's World Series. And all of a sudden, my mom goes, "Oh my gosh." And I look over and I see the little light swaying back and forth. And then we go outside. We have a little pool in the backyard. Water, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I was laying on a pillow on the ground, and I didn't feel it. Mm. I'm cool with that streak continuing, by the way.
Yeah.
I would be fine with going throughout my entire – I don't ever want to come in here and be like, well, streak's over. Felt the earthquake, which is what the defense of the Knicks felt like last night. But good news is there was a Jiffy Lube drive of the game, and we have our dear friend Brandon on. Who hopefully will tell us, Brandon, what was the Jiffy Lube drive of the game?
The drive of the game was the Fox assist to Domas for the reverse dunk.
Fox assist to Domas for the reverse dunk, or as Gary Gerald would say sometimes, the hammer. Well, let's see if he was right about that.
Kings don't look like they're in any hurry to go 2-for-1. Fox, using some clock, stride and a half across the midcourt line. Now drives it to the right, gets in the paint, wraparound pass Sabonis, and he hammers it on the reverse. Oh, what a nice drift and handoff that time by De'Aaron Fox. We're going to make that your Jiffy Lube drive of the game. He set up Sabonis perfectly as the defense came out to challenge Fox in the paint. It left Domas wide open for the quick throwdown.
Hey, Brandon. It is Brandon. Jiffy Lube drive of the game, correct. Congratulations. You got yourself a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube to do anything you need to do to that vehicle that our good friends at Jiffy Lube offer. All you got to do, really, I mean, you've already got it, but just for funsies, Brandon, what radio station makes all your Jiffy Lube dreams come true?
Sacktown Sports 1140.
Yeah, yes, Brandon. Nailed. Just bro, nuts. What a pro.
What a P to the RO, dude.
Man, he was listening.
He
good
was.
For you.
We appreciate that. We appreciate you listening, whether you're listening to the game or if you're listening to
And by the way, there won't be one tonight because there's another game Sunday.
So,
but listen tonight
and
Sunday. But Sunday is where you want to listen for the Jiffy Lube.
But that does mean there's going to be 2-3 in the Keys. Or will there be? Aha! And Freddie. Fun and games.
Yeah, and a streak.
Yeah, and streaking. See if I can get a four.
So many activities.
Yeah, so many activities now that we have the bump.
And celebrity birthdays.
And celebrity birthdays. My gosh. A lot of people saying, yeah, we did have an earthquake. So we had an earthquake on the day we announced that the A's are coming here. I mean, that's not, you know, that's a super coincidence. I mean, it's a coincidence, but like, Kings haven't won since the announcement. We're having earthquakes coast to coast.
Rain.
If you think about that, there's an earthquake in Sacramento yesterday. Then the Kings lost to the New York Knicks, to which there is an earthquake today. Ooh, is that guy trying to say something to us? Did we upset
that guy?
The big guy.
Oh wow!
Is he saying shame on y'all?
Shame.
Also, update, we have yesterday, we went around the horn, and we asked Will Cady, who used to live in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
And who watched the last TNT game in Phoenix. She watched that at Marley's Sports Bar with friends. Will Cady watch the game at Madison Square Garden, or will she watch it somewhere else with friends?
What's the update?
I have an update for you. First, you and I believe, both said she would watch it at the game.
Yeah, based on time constraints.
Based on time constraints. Yeah. And that's what I said. In the end, when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, they're flying out. She's going to be too nervous. Chris in the bar. Well.
Do we have a correct answer?
Spotlight on Chris Verlade.
Nice.
Who got on the island all by himself. And you could call it Loser Island because that's where he lives.
Oh.
She was at the game, sent me a picture from.
But drank heavily.
Yeah.
Wait, what's happening? I was just getting the guy's
oh, sorry.
information.
You lost. Cady was at the game last night. Sent me a pic from her press row view or whatever. Yeah, she's way up there.
Yeah.
I think she's on the roof. But yeah, that was...
the ceiling.
The ceiling. The roof is the ceiling. So congratulations to Cady.
She have binoculars?
Seriously. Before we go to break... The Kings do play the Celtics tonight. We don't have time to get into that. We'll get into it later. But we do have time to do our friendly neighborhood game of...
Oh, gosh.
Who is favored and by how much? The Kings are playing the best team in the NBA, the Boston Celtics, who are 60-16, 33-3 at home. The Kings are 44-32, 21-17 away. It is the second night, however, of a back-to-back. So who is favored? And I have a feeling we're going to all get that right.
Boston.
Jason, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Spoiler alert, you are correct. So now, by how much are they favored by?
All right, the first number that came to my head, I'm just going to do first instincts, 11.5.
11.5.
9.5.
9.5. Well, Chris, you've got a house on Loser Island. We just established that from the Cady bet. Go ahead and build yourself an expansion on the Loser Island house to increase the value for when you sell it to Jason and move to Winter Island. Boston favored by 9.5. Well done, Chris Verlade. I know, Jason. You know what? You'll be back. You'll be back. Also, before we go to break, give me that breaking news. I know we're late, but give me the breaking news, please. Real quick.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
Bronny James is declaring for the 2024 NBA draft. Many people thought the whole transfer portal thing was happening. Well, he's also entering the transfer portal to maintain flexibility.
Yeah, I was gonna say, be careful there.
But he will work out for and visit NBA teams and make a draft decision based on a evaluation. I ain't buying it, dude. I can't wait for that shoe to drop after this season. And if LeBron James publicly says, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by that. We'll take a break. The A's are on their way to Sacramento. We'll update you on all the things coming up right after this.